Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight, we talk about how we all have one desire in common, no matter what our age, no matter what our gender or demographic, and that one thing is that we all want to be happy. Every choice we make comes from the belief that it will make us happier. It is also interesting to note that this year, the most popular and widely enrolled course in Yale University's 316 history is a class on happiness. Tonight, we talk with Jane Weicker, author of Soul Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl. We talk about her journey to discover how to make herself happy by finding her own inner resources. A graduate of Cornell University and a former elementary school teacher, Jane Weicker was a pioneer in parent education, which led her into family counseling, a practice that deals with marriage, parenting, and self-development. It is a pleasure to welcome Jane Weicker, author of Soul Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl, to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome, Jane Weicker.
Thank you, Eleanor. So happy to be here.
This was a journey for you, this book, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, it was a journey to write the book and a great pleasure to write it as well.
What prompted you to write the book? What made you feel that many of us would need some inspiration from you?
Well, I wanted so much to share my journey, my inner journey, which taught me that life is an inside-out process and that everything starts with our thoughts, and which create our feelings, which create our choices, and then create our actions. And so much of life, so many people look at life from outside in, and what I discovered is that life starts within and that my thoughts create my life. And many of our thoughts come from our early childhoods that we don't even examine. And many of them are in line with our deepest self, our soul, and many of them are not. And so that it's important to be able to sort through, you know, what is really authentic to myself and what is not. Because I believe that authenticity is the key to sustained happiness.
And you know, you mentioned going back to our childhood. In your book, you talk about your relationship, your early relationship with your father growing up, as well as your mother, and how that influenced you in your growth and in your journey. Talk about your relationship with dad and how that influenced you.
Well, my dad was a very sweet man, and he was a very hardworking and giving man. But he had very clear ideas of what was right and what was wrong, and it was very important to him that I be educated, which I appreciated. But it was also that he had very, very difficult experiences with sexuality, and he was so... he was so harsh with me as an adolescent, and that had a very great impact upon me.
In what way?
Well, he was very afraid that I would be taken advantage of, and he was just very afraid that I might go the wrong way or maybe get pregnant, or I don't know what he was afraid of. He never mentioned it, but he, as soon as I started dating, he became violent and very, very insulting and very demeaning. And it was just a very, very harsh way that he appeared, which was so different from anything that he had ever been before that, where he had always been supportive and very warm and very soft. So it was very shocking to me that he became this way, and I had no idea what that was about.
And how about your mother? How did she influence you?
My mother was silent on the subject, and my mother was a very kind person who was emotionally ill. She had a very harsh mother, and I believe her whole life was about recovering from the harshness of her mother. So she was a person who I gave to more than I received from.
How did she influence? Can you give us an example of a mother's a presence with you growing up? Was she there for you? Was she supportive?
My mother was so influenced by her mother that she was emotionally very fragile. She had several breakdowns, shock treatments. And so part of my life was to be sure that I didn't cause her any trouble or any angst, because I never knew when the breaking point would be. And even as a young child, while we don't know these things intellectually, we feel them. And I felt her fragility, and I was afraid to test that fragility. So I took more care of her in many ways than she did of me.
So in some ways you became her parent rather than she parenting you.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, and how about, was there any physical problem in the relationship? Was either father or mother physical with you in a way that you can remember?
No, I was such a good girl, Eleanor, that I had no problem with that. There was never any harshness to me. But there was not a lot of attention given to me.
So you made it you seemed to take it in growing up and looked around and there was a very wise part of you growing up that recognized what was needed from you to survive in your family.
That's correct. And I also had an older brother who was a very bad boy, quote, bad boy, who just got into a lot of trouble and caused a lot of noise. And I could see the strain that created on my mom and my dad. And I just knew that there was no more strain that could be tolerated without something breaking there. And it's really amazing how wise children are, how we see and feel so much of what's going on, even though we don't have control over what's going on.
And your brother became your savior in some ways. Can you explain that?
Yes, he did. He brought me out into the world, and he really enjoyed me, which I always felt. And he would take me out to the boulevard where we would go shopping, and we would go for ice cream, and we would go to the movies, and we went to baseball games. And I remember going to Ebbets Field in Brooklyn, New York, and seeing Jackie Robinson play baseball. And Jackie Robinson was such an inspiration to me because he had such courage. And even in the face of just so much angst and so much that was against him, he just stood for himself and he became great. And he inspired me that no matter what was going on in my life, that I could do the same.
Well, that is that's a wonderful, wonderful story. And, you mentioned your book is called, has to do with soulfish. Soulfish mm-hmm. is the name of your book.
Yes.
Soul Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl.
Right.
And what do you mean by soul selfish?
Well, let me go back and just say that the word selfish has a bad rap in our culture, because what it really means to most people is going for what you want without considering the effects on another person, concerned only with your own pleasure or profit. But that is ego-selfish, and soul-selfish is the opposite, because at a soul level, we're all connected, and what we want for ourselves is good for us, and it's good for others.
And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life, and this is your host, Eleanor Bobro. And my guest this evening is Jane Weicker, the author of a very interesting book called Soul Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl. So you were just describing the difference between selfishness and taking care of yourself.
Right.
And why did you think this was important?
Well, because if we don't connect with what we really are internally, authentically, then we can never be happy. If we're trying to fit in to what other people want of us, then or what we think other people want of us, then we can never be happy. And I believe, as you stated at the beginning of your program, that everything we do is done with the attempt to create happiness. And I wrote Soul Selfish because by going inside and really clearing out so much of the old thoughts and feelings that clogged me and stopped me, that I could begin to flourish as my authentic person, which would mean that I could be happier.
So you did this, you wrote the book as a way of creating the you that you wanted to become.
Yes, well, actually it was the looking back, because I wrote this book when I was 78 years old.
Oh, okay.
And I was looking back, and I wanted to share my stories, because I believe that stories teach us so much. And just the story of what it was to be a good girl, which I spoke about in the book, that my husband came home very excited that he had received tickets, season tickets to the New York Football Giants football games. And he asked me if I would go with him. And I had not been very into football, but I thought, well, it'll be fun. Let's see what that's like. And went to Yankee Stadium, the old Yankee Stadium in New York, where there were still pillars that supported the stadium. And when I got to my seat, I saw that I had a post that bisected the field right in front of me, so I could not see the field unless I went to the left of the pole or the right of the pole. And then I looked at his seat, leaned over and looked at his seat, and his seat was pretty much clear. And I sat there, and game after game, I looked to the left of the pole, the right of the pole, the left of the pole, the right of the pole. And I couldn't see much some of the time, but I would hear from the crowd what had happened. And as time went on, I would feel more and more excited about the games and more interested, but never, ever said to him, why don't we change seats halftime to halftime or game to game?
Because you were being a good girl.
Yes, and I was much more concerned about him enjoying the game than I enjoying the game.
And we're going to talk more with Jane Weicker, author of Soul Selfish, when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobro, your host. And this evening we're talking with Jane Weicker, who authored a very interesting book for women who strive to be quote-unquote good. Her book is called Soul Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl. Now, you were talking about how you were sitting in the stadium, not able to see the game, but you didn't want to interrupt your husband and you didn't want to complain, so you didn't ask him to either move or do anything. This is how good girls work. Is that correct?
Yes, good girls are very accommodating, and their focus is on the other person, not on themselves. How they can serve the other person, how they can be there for the other person. And that's a wonderful way to be generous with oneself for others. But what about being generous with oneself for oneself? And good girls do not do that. They don't focus on themselves, what they need, what they want, what makes them happy. They are looking outside for love by giving love. And a good girl is one role, but there are many roles that children take on. That could be jocks or brains or artsy or drama queens or so many roles. But all of these roles, good girl included, are there to get love, attention, and approval from their parents.
You know, I didn't think, it just came to me that being a good girl allows women to be abused. And maybe that's the cause of domestic abuse, because we as women want to be good and caring, and we take a lot because we take the responsibility on ourselves that we weren't, quote unquote, good enough. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that the reason that the women get into these kinds of unhappy situations is that they don't focus on themselves or how to take good care of themselves. And I'd like to say that when we talk about good girl, I'm talking about it in quotes. It is not really good for us to be, quote, good girls, because in order to really be good to others, we need to know how that is affecting us and how others are affecting us. And often when we are not taking good care of ourselves, we might attract people into our lives that don't take good care of us either. So it's very, very important to understand that life is an inside-out process and that it all starts with how we see ourselves. And when we are really wholesome within ourselves and kind to ourselves and give ourselves what we need and express ourselves, whether something is happening that we like or something is happening that we don't like, then we can really be there honestly, not as a role, but as an authentic person.
You know, in the book you talk about how you went inside your mind and began to listen in and to really relax and use relaxation and visualization as a process to get in contact with your inner self. Could you tell us more about that?
Yes, I think that it's very important to take time every morning, whether it's to take a walk, whether it's to just sit quietly, whether it's to journal. To take time every morning to listen to your thoughts and your feelings, because our thoughts create our feelings, and the feelings create our choices, which in turn create our actions. So it's very, very important to take that time every day and listen to your thoughts. And at the beginning of that process, the thoughts may seem very noisy and all over the place, but soon, little by little, you will begin to hear a different level of your thoughts, and you'll be able to connect those thoughts to your feelings, and you'll begin to know more quickly what feels good to you and what doesn't feel good to you, what you like to do and what you don't like to do, what you want to be and what you don't want to be. And as you become more and more clear internally about what the person you are, the person that wants to be authentic, the happier you're going to be.
So that the more we become in touch with who we are as a person, who we want to be, what our thoughts are, and what is essential to us, the more authentic we become.
Absolutely, and the more authentic we become, the happier we become. Because when we're authentic and other people are offering us love, we can receive that because we know that that's real. But when we receive acknowledgement and praise and love from when we're not being authentic, we know that too. And so it doesn't land in us the same way because we know that it's not real. so that when we're authentic, we are free to be happy, we are free to be loved, and we are free to express ourselves. And the biggest problem with good girls is a lack of expression. We're so focused on the other rather than expressing ourselves.
So we express to other, we listen to others, but you're saying we don't express who we be and what we need and want? Is that what you're saying?
What we need, what we want, what we feel, what we think. Yes.
So we are more on the receiving, and I guess the big words are, uh-huh. When we hear somebody say something that we don't like, or when it's not us, rather than say, you know, I don't quite agree with that, we say, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Or nothing.
Yes.
So it's really a blocked expression, because we're so into the pleasing other people and wanting to give to other people. And I can remember a time when someone asked me what I wanted, and I really couldn't even tell them, because I was so not focused on myself that I couldn't answer what I wanted. And it was really like an exercise for me to learn how to focus on what I wanted and make that a priority some of the time.
So what you're saying, many women have been often conditioned to be thoughtful about others and forget about what is meaningful and important for them, for us to be happy.
What we actually need to be happy.
What we need.
We emotionally need to be happy, yes.
And you also talk about, we talked about taking control of our mind. How does learning to express gratitude help us to become more in charge of our lives and becoming a soul selfish?
Gratitude is the surest and quickest way to feel good. That any time I'm in a state of gratitude, I just feel good. I feel thankful. I feel good. I feel prospering because this wonderful thing that I'm grateful for has happened.
Can you give us an example?
Oh, absolutely. Every day. I wake up every day, and as some of you may know who have read the book or will read the book, that I had a very difficult first marriage. And fortunately, 33 years ago, I remarried a man who is just so loving and so fun, and we just have this beautiful life together. And every morning, the first thing when I wake up in the morning is my gratitude for this man in my life and the beauty of my life. And that sets my day up. And it's such a lovely way to open my eyes and feel that.
That is beautiful. And how do we also create connections that feed our souls? One is to have gratitude and create and find a relationship that is satisfying, respectful, in which there's a mutual sense of connection. What about finding connections that feed our souls?
Well, I just find that by going inside, whether it's journaling, whether it's walking in nature, like when I just take a walk in the morning and I look at the beauty of nature and the magnificence of nature and the flowers and how many there are and how beautiful they are, beauty is a way of coming into my soul. Music is a way of coming into my soul. When reading poetry is a way to come into my soul. So it's very individual of what a person wants. I spent some time working in a landscape organization, and I watched the life cycle before my eyes, where in February we were planting little seedlings, and by March they were beginning to sprout, and by April they were beginning to flower, and by May people were coming to buy them and take them away. And so it was like the life cycle, like an animated cartoon, so fast that life showed me from the beginning, from the birth all the way to the letting go. And it was a beautiful way to see that. So there's so many ways, whether it's nature or art or music or something that you create yourself, whether it's painting or writing, whatever your creative abilities are or interests are, that will feed your soul.
And to allow yourself to explore them and to know them and to accept them and then to realize them.
And to give them energy, to give them importance is very important.
So we really need to be very conscious of ourselves as women and to find out what it is that we need and want to be happy. It's not something that is, we need to acknowledge that we have work to do to go inward to discover and know who we are. Because this way we can also let our partners know who we are.
Our partners, our friends, our children, our communities, all that we're in contact with, we need to make ourselves known. But we can't make ourselves known to others until we're known to ourselves. And that's the whole point of Soul Selfish, that we need to look inside because life starts, our lives start inside of us.
Thank you,
and
Jane.
And we need to look there.
Thank you, Jane Weiger, author of Soul Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl, for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding that becoming soul selfish means we become able to feed our own soul first so that we can help out and reach out to others. We take control of our mind, and that's essential. Learning to express gratitude and how to create connections that feed our soul. Jane isn't saying that creating sustained happiness is easy. She believes there are inner and outer resistances that make the process challenging, yet the rewards are enormous. Jane, please tell us how we can find out more about your book and your work. Do you have a website?
Yes, I have a website. It's janewyker.com, janewyker.com. And on that website is a free and confidential quiz to see how you score on the happiness scale with a suggested next step. Also blogs that will give you more information. And, of course, my memoir, which contains stories and lessons that I have learned, which I hope will help you.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.